Is Beijing striking back with more censorship?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. The epic confrontation between search titan Google and China has taken a new turn this morning. Google reports today some of its mobile internet search tools in China are being partially blocked. The internet giant pulled its search engine servers from mainland China, but Google's mobile business remains. Is the Chinese government retaliating? From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Google says its mobile services are partially blocked in China, but it's a bit of a mystery what that means. In our office, we can access Google Maps and Gmail via handheld. IT consultant Mark Natkin at Marbridge Consulting in Beijing can't nail it down either, but he notes that Google is losing mobile partners in China, which could explain any user problems. Natkin says the ex-partners know that Google now has a reputation.
Most companies may not receive any sort of instruction. In fact, they're likely not to receive any instruction from Chinese authorities. Understand that the climate has changed and that it would behoove them not to be cooperating with Google if Google is doing something that's creating displeasure for the Chinese authorities.
I.e., Google's beef could be with a government or just a chilly business climate. In the last week, Google's been abandoned by a top Chinese website and the country's number two mobile carrier. As for the top carrier, an executive says it has a relationship with Google, but it's not exclusive. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Yesterday's report that optimistic American consumers kept on spending last month helped boost Asian stocks today. Tokyo's Nikkei climbed better than 1%, while Shanghai shares rose about a tenth of a percent. Major European markets are mixed at this hour. The Dow will be coming off a plus day, starting from 10,895 after a rise of 45 points. And take a look at oil prices. They spurted to near $83 a barrel today in Asia. Analysts say crude prices have been pushed higher by a year-long rally of global stock markets. Early detection of diseases has made MRIs and CAT scans more popular with doctors than ever. Americans are also exposed to a lot more radiation as a result. Today, the Food and Drug Administration will hold a hearing where its own scientists will urge the agency to be more careful about the scanning devices it approves. From our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Gregory Warner reports.
A decade of research has shown that just owning a CAT scan or MRI machine makes doctors more likely to use them. Dr. David Levin is former chairman of radiology at Thomas Jefferson Hospital in Philadelphia.
The cost of those machines is somewhere between $1 and $2 million. And you have to do a lot of scans to cover those costs.
At today's hearing, FDA scientists are expected to testify that their warnings about radiation risks from devices were ignored by the agency. Studies show that thousands of people die a year from radiation-induced cancer from these devices. Jim Hitchin's company, Spectra Science, makes a device that detects colon cancer without using radiation. He says, though, it's not just doctors driving up the imaging tests, it's patients wanting answers.
You know, we all want to live forever, at least most of us do.
The FDA hearing today is part of a larger move by the agency to reevaluate its approval process for all medical devices. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place, LendingTree.com. By Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture and creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. More at ProduceMoreConserveMore.com. And by Citrix, offering GoToMyPC, providing remote access to a Mac or a PC from anywhere. More at gotomypc.com/market.
In case Apple's marketing juggernaut somehow hasn't reached you yet, the much-hyped iPad is supposed to hit stores this weekend. Apple's new touchscreen gadget is being touted as a rival to Amazon's digital book reader, the Kindle, as a replacement for laptops for travelers, and so much more that we've just got to have. Not surprisingly, some businesses are racing to have applications ready for the iPad in time for its launch on Saturday. So why not hop on the bandwagon with Marketplace's Rico Galliano?
When Apple's Steve Jobs first unveiled the iPad in January, one of the prototype apps he showed off came from the New York Times. It lets users read the Times in a digital format that's more like an actual print edition. Ever since, the iPad's been hailed as just the thing to convince people to pay for online print media. So it's no surprise other newspapers and magazines had high interest in quickly developing similar apps.
Very high interest.
That's Jeff Whatcott. He's with Bright Cove, a company that helps media outlets like Fox and Time magazine make videos that work on smartphones. Now he says clients are clamoring for help making videos work on iPads.
We had enough inquiries that we said, you know what, we need to get our customers gathered together and do briefings in both New York and London as opposed to having hundreds of individual meetings. That's not something that we pull together all the time.
But print media isn't the only industry with a lot to gain by jumping on the iPad bandwagon. Erica Ogg is a tech reporter with web magazine CNET. She says video game developers see the device's potential too, especially if they can be the first to roll out games for the iPad.
By getting out there first, you're going to get people's attention. People are going to be eager to try out these new apps on their iPad, and they're going to be probably a little bit more expensive than the apps were for the iPhone.
Still, no one knows whether consumers will ultimately use iPads at home or on the go, or how many of the things Apple will even sell, which makes it tough to predict which apps, if any, will be worth the effort. As NPD Group analyst Stephen Baker says,
yeah, it's great to be there, but, you know, if a tree falls in the forest, does anybody hear it make a sound?
In Los Angeles, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
And finally, in Apple's quest for world domination, just kidding, I think, Apple reportedly is about to expand the market for that cellular gizmo its users swear by, the iPhone. The Wall Street Journal has fleshed out some long-standing rumors and reports that a new, slimmer, faster, more powerful iPhone is coming this summer to AT&T and sometime in the future to the Verizon wireless network as well. Yes, even more prospective customers can feel the frenzy. As you might gather, I don't have an iPhone. Yet. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.